yours, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So go and tell my brothers that I'm going ahead of them to Galilee, said Jesus to the women that first Easter morning. After the flash of lightning, the rolling of the stone, the shaking guards, the drama of the event, these words are an easy detail to miss. But contained in that word, go brothers, which could be translated brothers and sisters. Go and tell my brothers and sisters that I'm going ahead of them to Galilee. There is the real drama of this Easter. And the clue, I think, to what God is doing for us on this particular Easter day. For Jesus did not mean his literal brothers, biological ones, of course. He meant brothers in the same way that soldiers of the same unit call themselves brothers. Brothers a la the HBO the HBO show that was so popular a few years ago, Band of Brothers, uses the term. He who sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, said the king in Shakespeare's play, King Henry V. He meant brother or sister in the sense of people who have been brought together by an overwhelming power, by the reality of mutual suffering and service. The disciples, to be honest, hardly qualified for the title. Two days before, Jesus had said to them, "You'll all become deserters this night because of me," and it turned out to be true. Peter denied him. The other men fled. The women held on a little longer. According to Matthew, there was a whole group of them that watched Jesus as he climbed Golgotha, that stayed near at the foot of the cross. The gospel names at least three of them and says there were more. But by that first Easter morning, even most of that group had dissipated, their number reduced to two. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Where had they all gone, those followers? Were they huddled together in a home base somewhere? Did they talk to one another? Did they make plans for what to do next? Or had they simply retreated to their own separate corners, their private spaces, to lick their wounds and engage in their grief alone?
Looks like Tracy's at their house.
We often like to think that the experience of suffering can bring people together. And we've heard that now, most recently under this experience of quarantine, that we are all in this thing together. But the uncomfortable reality is that suffering just as easily can drive people apart. When Jesus is arrested and tried, tortured, and crucified, the disciples do not stand with him. They had their own terror to manage, their own fear to handle. They were not, to twist Shakespeare, going to shed their blood with him and be his brother. Under the shadow of the cross, they cannot hold on to both Jesus' pain and their own fear. So they give in to themselves, which is one of suffering's cruelest tricks. Sorrow and fear and trauma can make us turn in on ourselves. And pain has the perverse power to shrink the world down to this horizon of our own experiences, making the hurts of others just too much to hold. No one ever asks to suffer. And I've never met anyone who, in the midst of their suffering, asks to become less attentive to others, and yet it happens. It is, we might imagine, this phenomenon, one of the ways that the powers of sin and death work together. The power of death that makes us grieve, the power of sin that uses that grief to suffer a right relationship with God and with one another. "You'll all become deserters," said Jesus. Of me, he meant, but he might as well have said of one another. The good news, this Easter day, Jesus risen from the dead, is this. He called those deserters his brothers and sisters. And if God worked the way that we work, Jesus might have decided to go and find some new followers, one who could be trusted to stick around and share his life no matter what, but God had something entirely different in mind. When the angel meets the women, he tells them, go and tell his disciples he's been raised from the dead, not go and tell the deserters. Heaven proclaims that the deserters are his disciples, and the risen Jesus is farther. Go tell my brothers and my sisters that I'm going ahead of them, because this broken and fragmented fellowship is my family. This is God's Easter work. To recreate and restore a community in the face of suffering and death. And that is something to consider right now. Because yes, while we all are in this pandemic together, separately in our home, social distancing, we are all having different experiences of it. The people who can work from home are having a different experience than those who've been laid off are having a different experience from workers who've been deemed essential and must leave the house at their risk. The people whose families are more or less intact are having a different experience than from those who suffer the death of a loved one in this time and who must grieve apart from the consolation and hugs, dinners, and visits. The people who sense that they are at medical risk are more worried than those who are generally home. Families with very small children at home now all the time are having different experiences from families with older children who are having different experiences from people who are single or who are empty nesters. Extroverts are climbing the walls. Introverts are getting plenty of time to themselves. The church folks who have an internet connection worship in ways that those without cannot. And the cruelest trick of all, there are combinations and permutations of all of those things, as if this was a problem in a statistics textbook. Maybe these are no mere numbers. These are the faces of our friends and our neighbors and our fellow citizens. And if that were all not enough, this personal experience, difference, this week's news has made it plain that mortality in this pandemic falls along the lines of racial and economic inequalities that have been with us since the foundation of this country, which has always dealt death unequally. So are we all in it together? What will it look like when this pandemic is over? If the powers of sin and death had had their way, our future would be rather bleak. Our vision would be restricted to what we know. Our sensitivities confined to what we ourselves experience to be true. Our resentments of others would no doubt increase, and our abilities to be responsive to the needs of another diminished. And have no doubt, the powers of sin and death, which still try to be at work in the world, will no doubt attempt this future for us. In the same way that those very same powers turned the disciples into deserters on the day of Jesus' passion and death. If he had not been raised, they would have been left on their own to pick up the pieces the best they knew how, dealing with the heartache the best they could, salvaging what relationships they could have, but I doubt they would have been a family. For they would have forever remained deserters of him and of one another. And our future would be set. But God raised him up. Jesus did not remain dead. And the women, and in meeting the women who have come to his grave, the risen Jesus opens to them and to us a different future. Go and tell my brothers and my sisters that I'm going ahead of you to Galilee. There they will see me. The risen Jesus rules the powers of sin and suffering, which combine to shrink the imagination, to shrink our imaginations to the horizon of our own needs. He says to the ones who deserted him, my brother, my sister. He says to you and to me, my brother, my sister, my sibling, my family. And he hands us back our fellow human beings, brothers, sisters, siblings, too. Those other people whose fears may seem strange, whose anxieties are overwhelming, or who do not seem anxious enough, those who carry the generational weight of injustice, our neighbors who seem so different from ourselves, all of them are our brothers and sisters in the power of the resurrection. If God has restored you and me, if God has restored us to Christ, as his brothers and sisters, despite all of our ways and habits of deserting him, how can we possibly look at our neighbors and not imagine them too as our family? And so we wonder what it will all be like when this is over. I wonder, in the face of that, what it will be like if we allowed Easter to set the agenda. If we trusted the risen Jesus' promise for the future that he goes ahead of us, for surely he does and he will. What if we began rebuilding our churches and our neighborhoods and our schools and our community with Christ end in mind, my sibling, my family, my brothers, my sisters. He is going ahead of you, for he is risen. He is risen indeed.